so. You've been so good to me. So good, so good. Lord, you've been good to me. You gave me back my joy. Oh boy, that the devil used as his tool. You've been so good to me. Oh, you've been good to me.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. When you have Luke chapter 19, verse number 29 to verse number 40, these people begin to show the excitement because of the entry of the Messiah. They begin to show some excitement, and here it is. Why were they praising? Why were they excited? Because they begin to rejoice with a loud voice over the mighty works that they had seen. Now, I can get up here and pump and prime you and try to get you to praise God, but until you begin to think about what he's done in your life, the things that you've seen in your life, you're not going to say anything just because I said it. Now, I can say, come on, praise the Lord, and you say, praise the Lord. But until you start to realize, look how good God has been to me. He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way, clothed me in my right mind. And when I was downward and out, God lifted me. When I was broke, he took care of me. Whenever I was sick, God healed me. When you start looking at what you've seen and not what other people seen, I heard the testimonies. I can rejoice with them that rejoice. But whenever you get to see it, the testimony that you have, the testimony that you heard, don't it becomes little in your sight, because now you start looking at what you've seen. I seen the Lord right on this road when they were coming in. They were rejoicing because they had seen the Lord. They had seen him feed 5,000. I wish I had somebody. They had seen him walk up to the grave. I wish I had a bunch of church folks that understood what it means to being able to see. Jesus, when he was a holy man, he didn't have to walk into the graveyard because he was getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and no Jew that's ready to go worship will walk into the graveyard. What did he do at Bethany? He, the city of Lazarus, he walked outside of the city and he stood there, and that's why the Bible said he called with a loud voice, because he wasn't going. He said, you move the stone. I'm not going in the graveyard. Oh, come on and say amen, because if he walked through the graveyard, everything in there get up. That's why he stood back and he said, Lazarus, come forth. I wish I had somebody. And so he said it from a distance, and Lazarus heard him and got up out of the grave. I wish I had somebody. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Bible says that when they saw all these things, they saw the blind man who had been blind for a long time, and he was begging, and Jesus along the way gave that man his sight back. When they saw all of these things, it made them get loud. You see, when you see some stuff, it ought to make you get loud. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. You know how you can be talking to somebody at a whisper and you see something, you say, man, look at that. You start to get a little bit louder. Come on and say, man, we need to make sure that we get loud about what we see. I've seen what God can do. I've seen God heal people and I can get loud about it. I've seen God deliver folks that seem like they had no hope, but I know God can do it. I've seen God change people around. I wish I had somebody here. Then when I look at the mighty, mighty works that God has done, it makes me want to get loud. Do I have anybody here that's from the noisy crew? Somebody here that'll make some noise about what I've seen. I've seen a whole lot of stuff. I've seen Jesus. Oh, come on and say amen. I've seen a whole lot of things, but the most marvelous thing I've seen is when God took my black soul, dipped it into the red blood of Jesus, and brought it out whiter than snow. I've seen something else. When I rose up this morning, I've seen a new mercy that I'd never seen before. New mercies I see. I've seen something else. I've seen the love of God in spite of me, in spite of my mistakes, in spite of my stubbornness, and in spite of my disobedience, in spite of me making excuse after excuse, in spite of all that, I've seen the love of God that said that he loves me, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do I have any witnesses? They looked at the excitement when Jesus was riding in. But then they go on and they said, look at the enlightenment that they had. They had excitement of his entry. Then they had enlightenment. Look at verse 38. He says, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Well, look at this. Look at the enlightenment that they had. They were so enlightened because they recognized that he was the king of kings. They recognized that he was the king of glory. They recognized that he wasn't some ordinary joker. Amen. He was real. He was God's son, the only begotten of the Father. They recognized that he was the Messiah, and because he fulfilled the prophecy, he came on a coat. I wish I had somebody. The coat of a donkey. And as the scripture said in Zechariah 9:9, that was the way the Messiah was coming in. Not only did he come on the coat of a donkey, but he came in the east gate. That was the gate of the Messiah. If you go over there right now, you'll find the east gate sealed up. Can't nobody go through that gate but the Messiah. If you go over there, you'll find that the Muslims put a graveyard right in front of the east gate because they know a holy man from the Jewish sect would not walk into a graveyard to get anywhere, but he'll walk all around. You see, they put all of this stuff in the way thinking that they could stop a Messiah from coming, but they were not enlightened enough because what they didn't realize is that the Messiah already came. They don't realize, come on and say amen, but on that day when Jesus was going on his triumphant entry, they got excited, and because of their excitement, they were enlightened about what God was doing. They were enlightened that this is the Messiah. But see, we got to understand something. The people had it all wrong in that day. They had a certain expectation because of their enlightenment. They had heard by the enlightenment that the Messiah was going to come. He was going to free them from the Roman rule. He was going to take over the world. I wish I had somebody. And all they knew then was that he's got to fight because the Roman armies were powerful. And so the Messiah is going to come. And he has a strategy to fight to be able to give us victory. You see, some of us are just like those people. All we know is fighting. All we ever seen in our generation is fighting. And so when we talk about God, we talk about him fighting. We talk about God gonna get you. We talk about how God gonna punish you. Do I have any witnesses here? But Jesus said, I came to change your perspective about what the Messiah is coming to do. He came on a donkey, meaning I come in peace. I didn't come in war. He came on a donkey. He said, I'm not coming to give you a sword, because Peter, they that live by the sword will die by the sword. But I came on a donkey because I got a gift to give. What is that gift? God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That gift is salvation. That gift is the right to eternal life. Am I giving you the word or what? Are you confused about this message? There's a mystery of the donkey, but there's a manifestation of the Messiah. You see, what I love about the people is that they had an enlightenment somewhat, but they still had an expectation. The problem with our generation is that we don't expect nothing. We don't expect God to move. We don't expect God to do anything. We don't expect God to turn it around. Because if we did, our expectancy would turn into enlightenment. And our enlightenment would turn into excitement. Because I expect God to move. See, we don't have expectations. See, we don't expect God to heal people. We go ahead and we're ready to start planning in the funeral. But when you have enlightenment that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. When you get enlightened, you say, I believe that God can do it. And you start praising God. You start to say, I believe that God can make a way. And you get excited about the way. I'm not in the way. I don't have it just yet. But I'm excited about what the Lord is about to do. You see, eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, nor anything into the heart of man, the things that God has in store for them that love him, but has been revealed by his spirit. Am I boring you today? You need to be excited about what the Messiah is doing, what he's about to do. You see, they say glory, peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. Mark said, they said, Hosanna, save now. They begin to say God can do it through the Messiah. If it's going to be done, it was already done through Jesus Christ. We can't do it ourselves. We got to go to Jesus and say, Lord, will you heal? He said, with my stripes, I already healed. We say, Lord, can you give me peace? He said, I give you peace, not as the world give it, but I'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding. We say, Lord, I've been down a bit. He said, I'll give you joy unspeakable. Better yet, if you wake up early with me, I'll give you joy because it comes in the morning. Do I have any witnesses? Say, I'm excited. I have an expectancy. Anybody here? I believe God's up to something. Up to something good. I have an expectancy. I have tiptoe expectancy. I'm trying to see what God is about to do. I'm not going to sit down on my blessed assurance and say, woe is me. But I'm going to get up. I'm looking for Jesus, what he's about to do. Are you the one, or should we look for another? I'm looking at you, believing that God, if you just let him, that God could use you. Will you be the donkey today? Let Jesus ride. I wish I had somebody. Say, I got expectations. We got to start expecting stuff. Quit expecting the bad. I heard people always say, expect the worst and plan for the best. I wish I had somebody. Or plan for the worst and hope for the best. I'm not planning for the worst, because even at my worst, God looked at me and said, you're worse. You're like a filthy rag, but I can use you. I wish I had somebody. I've already seen the worst. I've been at my worst. But now that I'm in him, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do I have a witness? The mystery of the donkey and the manifestation of the Messiah. When Jesus is in a place, there ain't no quietness. See, I don't know where you've been going to church, but when Jesus is there, you can't be quiet. I wish I had somebody. I was in Israel. I was in Jerusalem. We were in the upper room, and they had a little message they talked. They said that, you know, they gave the message about the upper room, and we were all standing there, and a couple of people sang a few cute songs. But then I said, you know what? I can feel his presence. I started to sing. And when the other people picked it up, by the time we sang, the Spirit had moved. They had people jumping and shouting, had people ready to run, had people speaking in tongues. All of this stuff was going on. And then when we walked out, I had a man came up beside me. Me and Pastor Dimmer was standing there. He said, I know you guys can sing. He said, but you can't tell me that the angels wasn't singing with you. In other words, what I'm saying is that when you have an expectancy and you expect God to move, God will move. I don't care what clown comes. I don't care what turkey comes. But I know one thing, that God will come. He said, well, two or three are gathered in my name. I'm a noisy God right there in the midst. When, come on and say yes. When Elijah went and hid in the cave, had all kind of noise around him, but God spoke. When we look at what God did, when he told him to go to the upper room, that said they heard a sound as a rushing mighty wind. God is noisy. So why are we quiet? We're the body of Christ. I wish I had a church that said I make noise because I'm supposed to. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Say, neighbor, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise him. I come to make some noise. Come on, shake your neighbor. Grab your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, I'm not here to be cute and show enough ain't quiet, but I got some noise to make. Verse 39, lest I hold you too long. Verse 39 says, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Master, rebuke your disciples. You see, you got some religious folks. They like Jesus, but they don't want you to do too much. They like Jesus. They saw what Jesus did. They know what he's capable of. But they say, Master, they getting too loud. They moving too much. They stirring up too much. Need to calm them down a little bit. I tell you what, let's just keep on walking and see how loud it gets. You see, you got to see something here. The people that was with Jesus, they followed him from Bethany, and they begin to cry loud. And it was folks in Jerusalem. They said, what's that noise? Oh, it's Jesus. They left Jerusalem, went, ran out of the gate. They met up with Jesus, and they said, I'm going to walk with you back to where I came from, but I'm going to praise with you while we go along the way. Do I have any witnesses? Say yes. So we look at the expectation, but we look at the expulsion. In other words, look at the protest. They said, we don't want you coming in Jerusalem. Even though they were Pharisees, they started to believe with Jesus, but they walking with Jesus, heard all the noise. Said, don't go in Jerusalem making all that noise. We're going to mess up worship. We're going to mess up the program. We need to stop right here and calm the people down. But look at the eruption. Look at the explosion that Jesus explained to them. He said, and he answered. Anybody got verse 40? Verse 40 in your Bible. He said, and he answered and he said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, these stones would immediately cry out. What was Jesus saying? See, what you got to understand here, there is on the way to Jerusalem, ain't nothing but a mountain on this side and a mountain on that side. Jesus said this. He said, if they stop praising, the mountain will wake up and you'll have an earthquake. You'll have an explosion. You'll have an eruption because if they get quiet, the rocks know who I am. By the way, I created them. Say yes. Say yes. So if they get quiet, the rocks will move for me. Say yeah. You see, the rock of ages who created the rock. But you got to understand something. Where they are is going up to Mount Moriah. That's the same place that Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Oh, come on and say amen. That's the same place that he found a ram in the bush and sacrifice. That's the same place. Do I have any witnesses? But Mount Moriah in Jewish tradition is the first rock that God created when he created the world. So the first rock, I wish I had somebody. The first rock created was meeting up with the rock that created it. And he looked up and said, if they be quiet, he know who I am. I made him first. I can imagine the rocks saying, I thank you for making me first. I thank you that I'm still here after 6,000 years. I'm still holding on. I'm still in my place. I haven't been moved, but I'm still right here holding fast to your word. Anybody here can say, I thank you. I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to be like the rock of Jerusalem. Do I have a witness? You see, something is so beautiful about that rock. Do you know everybody, when they build a house over there, they have to use Jerusalem rock. In other words, you're not going to use some mud, but you're going to use what God made first. You're going to build your house overlaid with the rock. I wish I had somebody. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to quit preaching. When you get to building something, we need to make sure that we're covered by the rock so we'll look like where we come from. I come from the rock, so I got to look like the rock. The Bible says, Daniel said, there was a mountain, but then there was a rock that was hewn from a rock. Who knows who that rock is? That rock mushed up another rock, took an old rugged cross. He said, this rock, I wish I had somebody. He stopped by the way, and Peter, he said, Peter, upon this rock, I build my church. That rock kept on walking. That rock came up to a hill called Golgotha. They put nails in the rock, and they bored a hole in the rock. You see, you thought it was the ground. You thought they had post hole diggers and they dug the dirt up. But no, they bored a hole in the rock. They took our rock up on a cross, dropped him in a rock. Somebody say yes. And as he hung on the rock that was hanging, he said, it is finished. I give up the ghost. He said, Father, He said, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And he died. Come on and say yes. When he died, the Bible says he didn't stay dead, but they took our rock off of a rock, laid him on a rock, wrapped him up in clothes. They called it grave clothes. Took our rock, put it in a rock that Joseph had hewn out. But the Bible says that they took 100 Roman soldiers and pushed the rock on front of the rock that held our rock. But the Bible says it was just too quiet, because early Sunday morning, the same rock, the first rock created by the rock that had an earthquake, it must have got too quiet, because the earth began to quake. And when the earth quaked, the rock rolled away. Somebody say yes. The rock rolled away, and the rock who was inside of the rock got up and said, all power. Can I get you to help me preach it? Grab your neighbor by the hand and say, all power, power to make you walk right, power to heal your body, power to save your soul, power, Holy Ghost power. I won't let the rocks cry out for me, but I praise him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same sun. I praise him. No reason, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. No wonder they wrote, and into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Anybody here feel like blessing him? Don't fool me now. Do you feel like praising? Do you let the rocks cry out? Or will you rear your head back? Open up your mouth and praise him. Say yeah. I feel like David. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Anybody here say, I want to exalt him. I want to lift him up. Won't he, won't he? Be a rock in a weary land. Won't he, won't he? Be a shelter in the time of storm. Won't he, won't he? Be your honey in the rock. He's all right. And since he's all right, no matter what you're going through, come on, tell your neighbor, because he's all right. No matter what you're going through, I got a feeling. I got some excitement. I got some joy down on the inside that letting me know that everything, every big thing, every little thing, everything is going to be all right. Look at what he said. He said, if they should hold their peace, if they get quiet, the stones would immediately cry out. You see, you ain't ready for what might happen if they stop praising me. You're not ready for the earthquake. You're not ready for the eruption. You're not ready for the explosion that's going to take place if they get quiet. Do I have any witnesses? You see, that's why we got to keep praising. Come on and say yes here. We got to keep lifting. We got to keep on keeping on. We got to keep telling the world. We got to keep letting them know that God is a good God, and he's good all the time. He's good when you're going through. He's good when you're coming out. He's good, good, good. He's good when you're laying down. He's good when you're risen up. He's good. He's good, good. He's good when you're in trouble. He's good when you're in trials. He's good when you're in triumph. He's good when you've been overtaken. But he's good when you become an overcomer. He's good when you're in confusion, but he's good when you're in chaos, and he's even better when you're in a conquering position. For I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, tell somebody. I may have made a donkey out of myself, but now the Lord, he's riding me. Now the Lord, come on, let's start over. You didn't know where I was headed. I may have made, you know you made some mistakes. I may have made a donkey out of myself, but now the Lord, he's riding me. He's guiding me. He's leading me to the place I need to be. I was set apart, waiting on him. I was held up. Come on and say yes. Stop looking at the fact that you've been held up. I've been held back. Well, maybe God let him have you tied up a minute until he can get to you. Don't worry about how long you've been held up, how long you've been held back. It was for a reason. Now God is saying, loose him and bring him to me. I came to get you. I came to bring you out of the village so you can go in to the city. Do I have a witness? Say it. Tell your neighbor, don't be dismayed because you've been bound up. I come to get you. Now grab them by the hand and pull on them a little. I came to loose you. I came to let you go. I came to bring you to the place you need to be.